Hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode for the Artemis.bm podcast. We hope everyone's staying safe still, and we hope you're enjoying these video and audio segments that we've been publishing over the last month or so. We're delighted with the reception so far, and we hope to now continue these. Today, though, with the June Florida reinsurance renewal approaching in a matter of days, and still the market challenged and programs unfilled in some cases, we thought it'd be interesting just to talk through some of the dynamics we're seeing and discussing with our contacts in the market. As ever, you can stay tuned to all of this at www.artemis.bm, and we cover all of the news and transaction analysis there for you. So today we're going to talk about cat bonds, ILWs, reinsurance sidecars, and retrocession, all again through the lens of the Florida reinsurance renewal and how market conditions are at this point in time. So with the June reinsurance renewal rapidly upon us, when the bulk of Florida property catastrophe reinsurance renewals take place, I thought it'd be interesting to set out some of what we're seeing, given the state of the market is particularly interesting at this point in time. In fact, it's possibly one of the most interesting markets I've seen in the 25 years or so that I've been tracking reinsurance and the development of the ILS market. Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic has thrown a shadow over the industry as a whole, across insurance, reinsurance, and also ILS to a degree. And that has certainly influenced market conditions significantly, availability of capacity, and also pricing. And obviously, it also throws a shadow of uncertainty over the industry as well, which may not go away for quite some time, to be completely honest. This is going to be with us for years to come, to a degree, but it's the immediate uncertainty now of how losses are going to develop over the coming quarters and the next year beyond, which are really pushing sort of markets to operate in a certain way and pushing capacity availability in a certain manner as well. And obviously there's less capacity, but more demand for it, which obviously equals interesting market dynamics and has triggered what can only really be called hardening at this stage of the cycle. So there's numerous carriers, both on the insurance and reinsurance side, facing losses, of course. There's been the hit to the investment portfolios, which, while partially recovered, has not really been recovered, some of which has not even been realized yet. And then there's the uncertainty over the lockdown, obviously, and how that's affected people's businesses in the industry and working practices. And on top of that, there's the little matter of a change to the risk profile and the exposure profile of the industry's portfolios, not least on the catastrophe side because of stranded and parked assets. Think of airports where there may be hundreds of planes sitting there out in the open exposed to hailstorms, tornadoes and the like, or hurricanes or tropical storms. There really is a different shape to the exposure profile of the portfolios that people wrote in January. They changed entirely as a result of the pandemic. And people are getting to grips with these things now. Obviously, the models help. But that is just another additional area of uncertainty on top of all the losses and hit to capital that's happened as well. And obviously, that's resulted in a different amount of availability of capacity for this renewal, as well as changes in appetite and the target underwriting portfolio that people have for the mid-year too. Some people are moving up and down layers, and other people are completely discounting writing any aggregate business at all, for example. So that's made it more challenging for some carriers to fill their programs. It's also obviously driving some speculative activity as well. But the overarching theme really is that capital is king right now. And if you don't have enough of it, you're probably trying to find some somewhere in the marketplace, be that through an equity raise, debt, reinsurance solutions, or perhaps a collateralized structure such as a sidecar. So capital is definitely king. And in some cases, this is at any cost at all. And people are willing to pay quite significant increases on what they would have paid a year ago just to get sufficient capital behind their book to ensure that they can continue as a going concern. In some cases, for others, it's more a case of how much are they willing to pay for capital that allows them to write more business and then capitalise on the increase in rates that we're seeing at the moment. So as well as driving people to buy speculative protection, it's also bringing speculative capital to the market as well. Markets that are seeking specific areas of return and levels of return. Obviously, as we've written in recent days or weeks, Berkshire Hathaway and Dee Shaw, two of the more sort of fleeting seen in the property catastrophe market, both been quoting more at this renewal, some binding of contracts reported as well. But there's also other hedge funds out there as well, and we understand there are people trying to tap into sources of hedge fund capital, and this is on the more traditional hedge fund side, not the ILS funds, but there is certainly some interest from hedge funds now that returns are rising significantly for some of the lower layers of property catastrophe risk, and in the retro market and other areas too. Some of these hedge funds haven't been seen showing an interest in reinsurance for probably a decade or more, so that really is an interesting thing to have emerged at this point in time, and something that we could see running through the rest of this year as well. But matching that type of capital with the type of risk it's really looking for is not always easy. And so while there can be a big appetite to come in with some capital, it's not always met with the right opportunities, and it can be challenging to get the deal done. So let's move on to talking about some specific segments of the market, starting with catastrophe bonds. So the catastrophe bond market is really still flying in terms of issuance, albeit with some deals seeing tranches withdrawn because investor appetite just isn't there for certain areas of risk, usually the lower down layers or the aggregate layers, and that some other deals haven't managed to hit their target capacity. But at the same time, pricing has been rising as cedents and sponsors are responding to investor demands and making sure that the returns they offer get the deals across the finish line and they secure their reinsurance capacity. Pretty much every cat bond has priced at the top end of guidance or even higher in recent months. So as of today, we've now reached just about 7.22 billion of cat bond and related ILS issuance so far in 2020, while the outstanding market stands at roughly $42 billion today, according to Artemis's data, which is a slight decrease this week, but only due to a high level of maturities. There remain another $2 billion roughly of maturities left for the rest of this second quarter. And at the moment, there's only roughly $700 million of new issuance scheduled, but there could be some more cat bonds launching in the coming week. So there's perhaps a chance of the outstanding market shrinking slightly at the end of the first half of this year. But we do believe that any shrinking of the outstanding market will be recovered through the second half, and we could see more activity than is normal during the wind season, during Q3, as there is certainly going to be some capital available for sponsors who do have risks they can bring to market during the hurricane season. So the cat bond market seems pretty healthy, to be honest with you, and when you consider that most securitized markets are still completely locked up and it's hard for anyone to issue anything that is of a lower rated, credit rated quality, cat bonds, which are largely unrated or are low rated, are seemingly getting done much more easily than many other securities at the moment. So testament to the cat bond market and the broking and issuance teams involved, that they're getting the books built and getting the deals over the line, as it's important coverage that people rely on these days. So onto the industry loss warranty market, another interesting space that's certainly seeing more demand and more interest at the moment. But at the same time, there has been a bit of a crunch in capacity, or at least capacity's been a little bit more reluctant to come forwards in some cases. And there's been unrealistic offers from both the buying and selling side. And sellers of ILW capacity seem to have been seeking out higher rates all the time. In fact, ILW rates seem to have been moving sometimes by the day in recent weeks, which makes the provision of accurate marks and indicative pricing just ever so important at this time, we believe, if you really want to get the market moving. But that's something for another day. RW demand is expected to rise, especially after the June and July renewals are completed. Partly this is because there's likely to be a significant number of shortfall layers where carriers have failed to fill all of their reinsurance program first time around. And they will need to fill these layers, so they will bring them back to market and they may pay higher prices for them. But what that also means is that reinsurers who are already largely motivated to hedge, given the uncertainty around COVID-19 and the losses they could face from that, they're certainly motivated to hedge for that reason, because they don't want to leave their balance sheets exposed, but they could also pick up shortfall layers that lead them to needing even more in the way of hedging capacity. And obviously ILWs are a simple option that helps them achieve that. Another reason that capital is king at the moment is that hedging is becoming more important. And so obviously that puts capacity in quite a strong position at this time. Carriers really have a sort of challenging position they find themselves in right now, where they've got this uncertain level of pandemic losses ahead of them. They're writing catastrophe risk, and in some cases increasing amounts of it because of the hardening of rates. But that means they're going to need to hedge their books to a degree. So it's going to be really interesting to see how and when the ILW market begins to clear more effectively and more efficiently, because right now it isn't clearing efficiently at all, we believe. We've heard that there's still a gap between buyers and sellers, and although that is narrowing a bit, it's not leading to as much transactional deal flow as you would have expected at this point in the year. But we do believe there'll probably be an uptick in RW transaction flow this year as a result of the need to hedge and as a result of the availability of more speculative capacity as well, for who ILWs can be a very attractive structure to invest in. So let's move on to sidecars. Another area that's particularly interesting right now, the fully collateralized sidecar, the quota share, the private quota share, and other sort of risk sharing entities that pretty much perform the same job as a sidecar on a collateralized basis. There's a lot of these been in the market in recent weeks. We don't know how formally they're being marketed. Some of them could be very speculative, to be honest with you. But there's a number of flagship repeat sidecar issues in the market as well. And pretty much across the whole gamut of what's been offered in terms of sort of the flagship sidecars and the private quota share deals, pretty much all of them have been struggling to secure significant or sufficient capital this time around. There's at least two Florida-specific sidecar attempts that we're aware of. One from a rather large Bermudian carrier, another is a more private issuance, we understand. This is something that hasn't really been seen for a number of years. People haven't really needed to put out sort of Florida-specific sidecars or had the appetite to grow so significantly in Florida that they would do so with the backing of third-party capital in that way. So it's really testament to the way the market has moved over the last sort of few weeks, and the fact that there is this now this opportunity to write a much higher returning book of Florida specific catastrophe risk in 2020, which is attracting people to look at how they can secure the support to do that. And obviously the sidecar is a very good way to do that. But yeah, they're all struggling to find capacity, we're told. It doesn't seem to matter how established your sidecar is or how respected you are as a sponsor. It still could be a bit of a challenge to fill it in 2020. And the reason behind that, obviously, are that sidecars have taken losses in recent years. They're largely considered to be aggregate in nature in terms of the fact they share losses on pro rata basis. They've had collateral trapped for some sidecars. The sidecar sponsors have insisted on having stricter buffer loss table clauses involved in some cases, and that has pushed some investors away a bit. And also there's uncertainty over whether there is the potential for pandemic exposure to fall into some sidecars, particularly sidecars that take a slice of property insurance rather than reinsurance business, where there's perhaps broader terms and conditions and broader coverage in some of the underlying business there. And obviously some of the big sidecars also include some specialty lines as well, which could be interesting to see where the losses feed in there. And again, this is really a general thing in the ILS market right now, that there has been more of a focus from investors and fund managers on backing more predictable one-shot covers and also higher layers in the form of catastrophe bonds, while the working layers that some sidecars occupy are certainly going to be more challenged to find significant and sufficient capacity for the coming months, I think. So moving on to retrocession, the last area that we wanted to cover today. As ever, it's one of the most interesting parts of the market, as what you tend to see in reinsurance market conditions can often be amplified further down the line, given the remoteness from the risk, the less transparency that's available in terms of writing those risks, and also the fact it's a smaller marketplace with a smaller field of capacity providers. And in retro, there's really been a bit of a crunch ever since sort of the back end of 2019 through the January renewals, and that sort of persists right now. There is capacity available, but it's a bit more limited than it used to be. And for certain structures, especially aggregate retro and the pillared retro products, there's certainly a lot less capacity available, and in fact, virtually none for certain types of products, it seems. There's also some uncertainty related to the pandemic in the retrocession market as well, as given the lack of transparency sometimes, or the inability to look through to the subject business underneath a retro deal, means that it can be a little bit less clear whether pandemic risk is fully excluded, whether those exclusions are well worded, or whether there's a risk of potential exposure and obviously then of potential collateral trapping. All of this is just making it harder for reinsurers to secure the retro they really need, which in turn could push them towards instruments like ILWs and cat bonds over the coming months, given for the investor side, those are seen as being a little bit more predictable at this time. We've had a number of people tell us that the retro market is really quite dysfunctional at this point in time. Others, obviously, who provide retro would have you think otherwise, but often there's just a lack of capacity really underpinning all of this, and a changed appetite for risk among the capital markets community. And again, there are some people trying to tap into more traditional hedge fund type investors for retro capacity at lower layer, higher return ends of the scale. There is some appetite there, we understand. We've actually spoken to a couple of hedge funds ourselves who have expressed interest. It seems investors are coming out of the woodwork left, right and centre right now to show their interest in reinsurance and direct reinsurance investments, obviously appreciating the lack of correlation, but also looking at the returns that are currently available in the market is very attractive as well. Generally, as the renewal rapidly approaches, carriers are struggling to fill their programs. Rates seem to be up around 25% quite broadly, but in pockets much higher than that, and some carriers are having to pay much larger rate increases if their performance has been particularly bad in Florida over recent years. So as we said before, shortfalls of layers are going to be a feature of the market for the coming weeks, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they're dealt with. There's an opportunity there for those who have the capacity available to fill them. There could also be an opportunity for some of the marketplaces, the programmatic or technology-driven risk marketplaces. As it seems, if you can't fill your program in the traditional manner using the broker, perhaps you should be looking to a marketplace that could at least secure you some capacity at a price that you can set, perhaps all of it. It would be interesting to see some people turning to these marketplaces with some of these layers to test appetite of the capacity providers who are using those marketplaces and plugged into the offers that come through them. Really could be an interesting opportunity for the cedents, and may even get them better execution than they could have done by bringing it back through traditional means. In recent years, of course, program layers have tended to be quite oversubscribed. That's been sort of a regular feature of the market, is the ability of a cedent to pick and choose maybe who's on it, or giving more of it to the people who they really want on the program. This year, people maybe have to be a little bit less choosy about who's involved in their program if they really want to fill all of those layers. All of this has ramifications for the reinsurance and retrocession market over the coming months, ramifications for the ILS market as well, and it presents opportunities to those with capital who will have capital left to deploy after the renewal or who have the ability to raise some more. It's going to be interesting to see whether some of these come back in cat bond form as well. Obviously, wind exposed, or at least Atlantic wind exposed cat bond issuance will probably slow once we get into July quite significantly, may disappear completely for a few months. But there could be an opportunity for those who need hedging capacity to return to the cat bond market in Q3, because there are certainly fund managers out there who seem able to raise a bit more capital where needed to support cedents issuance. So again, it's a really fascinating marketplace right now, a really interesting renewal to be watching, and we expect that the rest of the year is going to be just as interesting going forwards as well. So with that, please do stay tuned to Artemis. Visit www.artemis.bm and you can get all of our news and analysis there and access to all of our data services as well as view all of our video interviews and subscribe to this podcast. We wish you all well and we'll talk to you soon.